Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you once again that we are able to come to you as a family. We thank you, Lord, and we recognize it is not by any coincidence, it is not by any work of human hands that we are even sitting here today. It is your grace that have brought us here, and your grace that have allowed us to worship you here and to hear from you here. So, Lord, even as we come before you, we turn our hearts to you, we turn our minds to you, and we ask that you will give us open hearts, open minds, open ears, open eyes, that we are able to see and behold and receive, O Lord, your word for us, individually and as a church. So, Lord, we ask that your Spirit will come and speak to us and have your own free way in our midst. We bless you. We commit this time to you right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, how many of you can remember what we spoke about last Sunday? I can't even remember what I said. Who was the speaker last Sunday? Now, okay, last Sunday, we actually spoke about how do we navigate the next season, this season that we are in. And there are three things that we say that we will do, right, or that we will have to prepare ourselves. And what's the first thing that we need to do? We need to prepare. We need to prepare ourselves, right? We need to live lives that are consecrated to the Lord, that's set apart for God. We need to have circumcised hearts, hearts that are led by the Spirit of God, not led by the flesh. The second thing that we need to do is to focus. And we focus on Jesus. We focus on God. Jesus is God. So we focus on God. We focus on his word. We focus on his timing. We discern his timing and his season. We focus on his presence. And we flow with his presence. And the third thing that we do after we prepare, we focus, we need to move. All right? Without movement, there's no progression. Right? So we need to move by the Spirit. We need to move in faith and obedience, because whatever God calls us to do, it will usually require faith, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, the question then really is, so we know that we need to prepare, we need to focus, we need to move, but I suspect that a lot of us, myself included, right, we actually do struggle. We do struggle to do these things, much less we struggle to apply these principles into our life. And we usually ask questions like, what do I do, really? You know, especially if you've been a Christian for a long time, I mean for some time, you've attended numerous numbers of sermons, seminars, you've gone for workshops, you've read so many books, now you've got YouTube sermons as well. Where do you really start after hearing all of this? What do I do? And then the next question that you might ask is, why? Why? Why do I have to do all this? Why this? Why not that? And the third question really is the how. How do I actually apply this into my life? What does it look like? So, this year, what we're going to do is to take time to learn from the example of Christ Jesus himself. Make sense? Do we see Christ Jesus living a consecrated life set apart for God? Do we see Christ Jesus living a life that is led by the Spirit? Do we see him being focused, having the Word of God being central in his life? Do we see him flowing with the timing of God, the way he met the Samaritan woman by the well, for example? Do we see Jesus flowing with the presence of God? What he sees the Father do, he does. What he hears the Father speak, he speaks. Do we see Jesus moving in faith and in obedience? Certainly so. So it makes sense that we want to learn from the example of Christ Jesus himself. And so this would not be a surprise for us, I'm sure. And so that's why the theme for this year that we're going to be having, and perhaps even for the following years to come, the subsequent years to come, is that we will endeavor to walk as Jesus walked. To walk as Jesus walked. Now, we have called this theme, His walk, our walk. Now, it's a little bit small on the screen, I know, my apologies for that. I'm not very good at my PowerPoint slides. But you will, if you step outside later, you will see that we have our new theme banner out there that says, His walk, our walk. Now, for 2022, our theme was His heart and our heart. And what we wanted to do, what we set out to do for 2022, was to learn about the heart of God, to align our heart with His, and to catch His heart. Now, after you have caught His heart, now it's time for us to put that into action. So we call it His walk and our walk, because walk is an action. It is a way of life. And we draw this theme from the verse in 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Let me just read that. Sorry, I'm just going to put on... This is... Yeah, I'm a little bit older than I look, I think. Okay? All right. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. It says this, "By this, we know that we are in Him. And whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Now, in the NIV, the New International Version, it reads as, "Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did." So walking refers to the way that we live our lives. Now, there are three questions that we will be touching on this morning. Who, why, and how? The first question, who? Who is the Apostle John, in this case, where we assume him to be the author of 1 John, who was he making references to in this verse? So let's look at the verse again, all right? So the verse, it says, "By this, we," as in the Christians that he's writing to, whom he's writing to, "we may know that we," the Christians, "know that we are in him. Whoever says," that means whichever Christian says, "that he or she abides in him," in Christ Jesus, "ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Now, what is abide? What does it mean to abide in him? Abide means to remain in Christ. Just like how the branch is integrally a part of the vine. So, the Christian who abides in Christ is someone who is identified with, who is wholly and devoted, wholly given and devoted to Christ Jesus. The Christian who abides in Christ is someone who has an intimate and a personal relationship with Christ Jesus. And the idea here is oneness, right? Because the branch and the vine, they are one, right? So oneness. Abides in him means oneness in him. So in other words, the Apostle John here is saying, this is how a Christian knows if he or she is a true follower and disciple of Jesus. That he or she then ought to be walking and living in the same way that Jesus walked and lived. All right? You're okay there? Yeah. Now, the next question, the second question is why? Why must a Christian walk as Jesus walked? I mean, why can't a Christian just simply believe who Jesus is, or simply accept, or just agree to give mental assent to the sayings of Jesus? Why do we specifically have to live the way that Jesus lived? So this is where we see in Matthew chapter 12, and in Luke chapter 6 as well, Jesus said this, "A tree is known by its fruit." So if you look at the picture on screen right now, can you tell what tree is that? Yeah? The durian tree. Have you heard that the durian is the king of the fruits? Yeah? I suspect that if Adam and Eve had stuck to eating durians, we wouldn't have all the sin in the world today, right? Durian. So a tree is known by its fruit. And so the way that we live our lives, the fruit of our lives, the way, the things that we say, the things that we do, the way we make decisions, all of these would reflect and would reveal what do we truly believe and the values that we hold, right? The fruit of our lives reveals the true beliefs and values that we hold. So if we say that we believe in the benefits of physical exercise, then we would what we would do is that we would at least, you know, exercise once a day or a few times in a week. If we say that we believe in the value of hard work or and financial prudence, then what we would do is we will be sure to put in the due diligence into our work and to exercise prudence in our daily finance, right? So, if we say that we truly believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then the way that we live our lives should also resemble and reflect how our Lord and Master lived his life while he was here on earth. So let me give you now another example, and this time it's from the letter that's in 1 John itself. Now, the Apostle John was writing from was coming from a very pastoral heart, and he was really coming as a spiritual elder, an overseer of their souls, of the Christians. Now, he wanted to help the Christians to examine if they were truly in fellowship with God as believers and as followers of Jesus. And to those who do believe in Jesus as the Christ and the Son of God, John assures them that they have eternal life. Now, one of the main problems amongst the Christians of that day, during John's time, was that there were heresies going around. And some of these heresies became subsequently known as Gnosticism. Now, Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. So the Gnostics actually believe that they were a special group of people with exclusive and special revelation knowledge of God, or from God. And one of the beliefs of Gnosticism that was spreading amongst the Christians of that time was that the physical matter, example, our flesh, physical matter is inherently evil, while the spirit was good. Now, this has a problem, because this from this belief itself, they start to then say that Jesus, although he was divine, he might be divine, but he was not really truly human. That Jesus did not come in the flesh. He could not have come in the flesh. Now, this then, what this means is that if we deny and we do not believe in the humanity of Jesus, then his death on the cross as a substitute sacrifice for our sins would be null and void. And that basically means that today, you and I, we are still in our sins and we are still doomed for God's wrath and his eternal death. So that is why John had to address this false belief by stating it very clearly, categorically, that Jesus is indeed the Christ. He is the Son of God who came in the flesh. Jesus is 100% divine and at the same time, 100% human. Now, the other false idea that came out from this belief of that the flesh is inherently evil and that the spirit is good was the idea that the sin that we commit in the body has no effect or connection with the person's spirit. Okay? And so, the sin that we commit in the physical body did not really matter after all. And from this wrong belief, that is why many of the Christians in John's time who called themselves Christians, they were still actually living in willful sin. That means they are sinning willfully. They are still living in a life of sin, even though they call themselves Christians. Because they say that, oh, whatever I do in my body doesn't matter to my spirit after all. So that's a wrong belief. So you can see, wrong beliefs will lead to wrong behavior, wrong life, wrong way of living. Now, there was also the other problem that happened in 1 John during that time as well. And that was the problem of Christians not showing love to fellow Christians. Based on what we read in the letter of 1 John, there seems to be the problems of tension, strife, and a lack of practical generosity amongst them. So in light of all of these, the Apostle John then had to be in a very loving, gentle way, but yet in a very firm and assertive manner, he challenges the Christians to examine themselves, examine their own lives for signs and evidence of their relationship with Jesus, not just based on what they say or who they say they are. So he points out to them, for example, that because God is light, then true believers ought to be walking in the light. They ought to be walking in righteousness. They're not supposed to be walking in darkness. They're not supposed to be willfully living a life of sin. And he also says that if we say that we know God, as in we know God as a person, we know his heart, if we say that we love him, then we should be following him, his word, following his commands, not because we have to, but because we want to, because we love him, right? So, for example, for those of you who've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend or you're married, you would know that when you do something for your spouse, I mean, we do it because we love our spouse or we love our partner. We love them. That's why we do it for them. I mean, I know the truth is sometimes we know that we have to do it anyway, right? But really, it comes from the basis of love. Now, John then says that God is love. And because God is love, then we ought to also love our fellow brethren. We cannot claim to say that we love God whom we cannot see, but yet we don't love the brother or the sister who's standing in front of us, right? It does not match up. And that makes it a bit kind of hypocritical, right? And on this topic of love, how are we supposed to love our Christian brothers and sisters? In 1 John chapter 3, John says that we love them by laying down our lives for them, just as how Jesus laid down his life for us. Now, the Apostle Paul, we are also remembered of the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you remember, he actually wrote a hymn of love. And he wrote, what is love? So how do we love our Christian brothers and sisters? We love them with an agape type of love. A love of God. A love that is patient and that is kind. A love that is not, that does not have envy. It is not boastful. A love that is not arrogant or rude. A love that does not insist on having our own way. A love that is not easily irritable or resentful. A love that does not rejoice at someone else's wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. A love that bears all things, that believes all things, that hopes all things, and endures all things. That is the type of love, the love of God. And that is how God loves us. And we are to also show this same love to our fellow Christian brothers and sisters. So, in essence, whoever is truly born of God will be obeying, walking according to God's commandments, and loving the brethren. Now, Jesus, while he was on earth, not only he came to die for our sins and the sins of the world, but he also came to model and to show us how we should be living as children, children of God, born of God, according to the principles the values of God's kingdom. And Jesus showed us how to live by the Holy Spirit. Now, therefore, as Christians, if we say that Jesus is truly our Lord and our Master, that if we truly believe in Him and we love Him, then our lives ought to at least gradually and progressively resemble and reflect the way that our Lord and Master lived His life while He was here on earth. Amen? Yeah. Now, at this juncture, I'd like to just share a few important points. And the first one is this. This is not to say, though, that we are expected to live as Christians, that we are expected to live sinless and perfect lives. So much so that if we do happen to sin, then we conclude that we actually do not know God, or that we wonder whether are we even saved. The fact is that all of us, even as Christians, from time to time, we will still sin for as long as we are in this world. And so that is why John assures us, the Christians, that if and when we as Christians, when we sin, we should first confess our sin to God. And God will be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John also reminds us that if we do sin, that we still have Jesus as our advocate. He is the one who will plead for those who belong to Him. He is the one who will justify us according to His righteousness on the basis of His atoning sacrifice. So if we do sin, confess our sins to God, and remember that Jesus is our advocate. Now the key difference though is this. As Christians, we should no longer make a practice of sinning. You see, being in a relationship with God means that we cut off our relationship with sin. We should now be striving and endeavoring with our best effort and intentions to walk in the ways of God, to walk according to His word, as opposed to being complacent or being nonchalant, a couldn't care less attitude towards sin. So, for example, as Christians, we are now doing our best not to lie. Right? We do our best, you know. When I think of not to lie, I remember that, you know, when back in the days in Singapore, when we want to park the car and we have to use the parking coupon, and you have to peel off the tabs and you have to put in the time that you are parked, right? So a lot of people, what they try to do is to say that, okay, because my ticket is only valid for an hour, I want to stretch it a little bit, you know, 1 hour 15 minutes, 1 hour 20 minutes. So instead of tying, say if I'm parked at 1 p.m., instead of tearing it the tab as 1 p.m., I will tear it off at 1:20 p.m. so that I can have another 20 minutes of parking. That was in those days. I'm sure none of us do that today. Right? Yeah, that's because we don't have the parking coupon today. We use an app. But we do not lie. We do not engage in gossip. But we have wholesome talk that's coming off from our lips. We are careful and we no longer read or watch things on TV or on the internet that's objectionable. We do our best as drivers to keep within the speed limit even, and to observe speed limit. The point is this, we no longer feel comfortable about doing things that are contrary to God's word, that are contrary to His character. And so, it is wrong to say that Christians will not sin, but it is also wrong to say that Christians can go on sinning or live a life of habitual sin. You see, when a person is in a habitual sin, that person is in fact enslaved by sin, enslaved by the devil. But fret not, there is a solution. Actually, it is the only solution, and that is to turn to Jesus Christ, who came to destroy the works of the devil. So the person needs to turn to Christ and says, Lord, would you help me to turn from this life of sin? Because only Jesus can set the person free from the bondage and the slavery of sin. Only in Jesus do we find true freedom and abundant life, the type of life that he intended for us humans to have when he first created the world in its perfection. Abundant life. Second thing is this. We can only live this life of righteousness and of love according to God's standard by the enablement and empowerment of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Not in our own strength. We can never do it in our own strength. No one can. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, John says that no one who is born of God will keep on sinning because, you see, if he is born of God, God's seed abides in him. Now, this is what happens. When a person turns to Jesus in repentance, repentance means to turn away from our sins, to turn away from living our life of sin. When a person turns to Jesus in repentance and accepts and receives Jesus as Lord, or his or her Lord and Savior, what God does is that God says that now this person is my child. So the person becomes a child of God. And the second thing that happens is that the person becomes a new creation in Christ. And then God gives his Holy Spirit to that person, and the Spirit of God resides in that person. And so, when the believer starts then to work with the Holy Spirit, to yield and surrender to the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit, and to walk by the Spirit, the person will progressively not want to gratify the desires or the lust of the flesh any longer. You get it? The desire to sin, or the easy attitude that we used to have towards sin, will start to fade. Instead, the believer will grow in his or her desire to please God. The believer will want to become more Christ-like, will want to live in purity, in holiness, in righteousness. And this is actually the result of the love of God that is growing in the heart of the believer. It's the result of the transformative work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. So, a Christian who is in fellowship, communion, relationship with God will have the Spirit of God working actively and, may I say, effectively, both to will and to do God's pleasure. Okay? Now, here comes the third question. How? How do we walk and live as Jesus walked and lived? So, here I like to use the illustration of the Kung Fu and martial arts master and his disciple. So, here we're going to say, for example, think along the lines of, say, Master Yoda in Star Wars, right? And who was his apprentice? I don't know, maybe Luke, okay? Or, no, who is his apprentice? Bruce Lee is his apprentice in Master... Okay. Okay, maybe it was a different era. But anyway. And then we've got Kung Fu Panda. Now, when the martial arts master wants to impart his skills to his disciple, what will he give? He will give, first of all, instructions, right? He will tell them, this is what you do, this is how you dodge, this is how you move, this is how you poise yourself, uppercut, lower cut, pop cut, chicken cut. Right? instructions. The second thing that you will often hear when you watch enough of Kung Fu movies, right, you will often hear all those life philosophies and life ethics, right? What will Master Yoda say? Master Yoda will say, the Force is with you, or trust in the Force, you must. Something like that. What Force are you talking about? Anyway, that's a movie, right? Okay. Now, Kung Fu Panda, here's one of the things that I felt it was a bit funny. It was a philosophy that was told to Kung Fu Panda, to Panda. I can't remember what's his name. What's Kung Fu Panda's name? Po. Po. Okay. And here's a phrase. It says, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. And that's why it's called the present. A bit lame, I know, yes. I can see that all over your face. You're like, oh, come on, move on. It's cringy. So we've got instructions, we've got life principles, and then we've got the outcome. Because you need to know how does the Kung Fu moves, the martial art moves look like, right? Is it effective in the first place? No point dancing all around the stage and all, and then after you just get a single knock, right? So for this year, we at Grace City Church, we are going through the book of Matthew. And we are going to learn from our Lord and Master Jesus. We're going to learn about his words, his ways, and his works. The words of Jesus. You remember in the Great Commission, Jesus actually told his disciples, he says, go into the world and make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey all that he has commanded. Right? Now, how do we know what to obey? How do we know how to live if we do not know the Word of God in the first place? So we are going to be learning and studying and going through the words of Jesus, the teachings and his sayings. What are the kingdom principles like? What are the kingdom values? What is kingdom living? Kingdom as in kingdom of God. We're going to learn on the ways of Jesus, his posture, his inner motivations, his approach. How did Jesus do things? How did Jesus relate to God, and how did he relate to others? How did Jesus live out his mission here on earth as a man, even though he was also the Son of God? And the third thing that we will be going through is the works of Jesus. Works of Jesus, we are not trying to replicate the miracles that he did. We are not trying to walk on water, literally. We are not trying to calm the waves and the sea. For those of you who are fishermen who goes out in the boat, you stand out on your boat and you raise your hands. No, we are not trying to replicate that. Nor are we trying to replicate the feeding of the 5,000 people. What we are trying to do is we are going to go into what did Jesus do in relation to proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. We want to imitate his works, his acts of love, faith, and obedience. Now, why are we focusing on walking as Jesus did? Because, brothers and sisters, Jesus is returning soon. Amen. He is coming back soon. We can see that happening very soon. He's closer to his return than it was in the times of the apostles who believed then that Jesus was returning then. We are so much closer. But before Jesus returns, we also do know that the days will become more and more evil. There will be increasing lawlessness. We can see it in our world today. I was having a chat with somebody, one of our brothers here, earlier this week, and we were saying that it's amazing that in just less than one generation, 20 years, 30 years, that you see such dramatic changes in society. What we used to think that is not part of the mainstream is now mainstream. What we used to think that it would not happen is now already happening. Technologically speaking, we have the supercomputers that took up rooms that are now compressed into the phone that you are using. Jesus is returning. And so, in the days ahead, it will be more and more important for us all to be equipped and to know how to stand firm in our faith, how to contend for our faith, and more importantly, how to impart our faith. The Apostle Paul exhorted the Corinthian Christians in 1 Corinthians 11. He says this, he says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." That means, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. You see, the way we live our lives is perhaps meant to be the best representation of the gospel of Christ. People should be able to see and encounter Christ in and through us by the way we live our lives, and not simply by what we say or profess. So when we say that here at Grace City Church, that we desire to be a people of influence to Perth and beyond, what type of influence are we really trying to be? As Christians, as followers of Christ Jesus, our lives should be a good influence to those that God has put into our paths by ultimately pointing them to the eternally good God, to Christ Jesus. Our lives should encourage people to turn to Jesus. Our lives should inspire others to live for Christ Jesus. Our lives should reveal the image of God as seen in and through Christ Jesus. And so, it is critical for us to have sufficient grounding in our knowledge of the gospel of Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom. That's why we are going to go through the book of Matthew this year. But more importantly, it is also important that we know how to apply God's word into our lives and how to live in partnership, to live by and in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Because I hear many Christians would say, yes, I know that I'm supposed to live by the Spirit. I know I'm supposed to live in the Spirit. But how? How does that look like? Right? And so if you were to recall the New Year's Day's message, how many of you, let's go back a little bit further. How many of you can recall what was preached on New Year's Day 2023? A new chapter. Yes, thank you. Who said that? Okay, thank you. So what was the new chapter about? Okay, anyway. At the beginning of this year, I stress on the importance of this. I encourage us all to pick up a life skill. And this life skill is the practice of reflecting, discerning, embodying. When we reflect, we want to reflect in light of the Word of God. Reflect on our life events in light of God's Word. Take note when we reflect, take note what is standing out, what is leaving a deep impression on you as you reflect. Because that's often how the Holy Spirit is trying to catch your attention and to channel your attention to that matter. The second thing that we do is we discern. We discern what God is saying to us, highlighting to us. What is it that He wants to point out to us? That means in those things that stands out to us about God's word, or those things in our lives that stands out, what is God saying about those things? Is God affirming you on a direction that you are taking and saying, yes, continue in this direction? Or is God showing you that perhaps there is something that He wants you to work on? Discern. The third thing that we need to do is to embody it. Translate that discernment into action. So, whatever that God tells you, whatever He shows you, how are you going to be putting it into practical action? How are you going to ensure that you will follow through in the action? Are you going to be walking with somebody who is able to encourage you, to support you along the way? Reflect, discern, and embody. Now, I call this a life skill, and it's not just one of those keys to victorious living or keys to a spirit-led life. You know, for those of us who have attended many sermons and many seminars along the way, there are many keys that we've picked up, that we are become so burdened by the so many keys, we don't know which key to start, right? It's a life skill because our faith is our life. Our life is our faith. If you recall, when we as Christians turn to Christ and we are baptized in Him, we are crucified with Christ then. And because we are crucified with Christ, it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. And the life that we now live in the flesh, we live it by faith, right? By faith in the Son of God, who loved us and who gave Himself for us. So our life and our faith are meant to be one. They are not meant to be separate. We don't separate it like, you know, it's the sacred and the secular. No, it's meant to be one. As I've mentioned earlier, the common issue that many Christians today face is not that we do not have enough biblical knowledge, but it is that we do not know how to translate and live out the biblical knowledge in our daily lives. So, as Christians and God's beloved children, God wants to help us to assimilate and live out the word in our lives with the help of the Holy Spirit. But you see, to do that, we need to respond and partner with the Holy Spirit. We need to move in tandem with the Holy Spirit. And so this skill of reflecting, discerning, embodying is actually a helpful way for us to engage the Holy Spirit, to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and to learn how to be in communion with the Holy Spirit. You see, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will reflect and view our lives in light of God's Word. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we discern God's voice and God's Word for us. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we move in faith and in obedience. If we want to walk and live as Jesus walked and lived, then we need to learn how to listen, to discern, and to move and to flow with the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit is the one who will enable and empower us to live as Jesus did. And I can tell you from my personal experience, it took me a long time to learn how to reflect, to discern, and to embody. It took me a long time to have faith. How am I going to do all this? And to live by the Spirit, to hear and to move, to hear and to move, and to discern, of course. It takes faith. But I might just add this one thing. The key really is relationship. Do we have a relationship, as in a two-way relationship with the Holy Spirit? Because when we have a relationship, we will be able to hear quite clearly. All right? Now, the next thing that we have to do is we have, in terms of relationship, is that we have to travel and journey together as a church community, as a family of God. Because we need one another, fellow brothers and sisters, to encourage, to support, and to spur us on in our walk with God. God did not call any of us to be a lone ranger. He has always meant for us to be in a community. A community where we walk together in His way, in His will, according to His purpose, according to His values. The church family is meant to be the place where we learn to translate our faith and love into action. And similar to our own biological family, there will be times of laughter, there will be times of fun, but there will also inevitably be times of differences, misunderstandings, conflicts within the church family. And I can tell you, coming over from Singapore to Perth, that this is the same in any church around the world. There is no church, there's no exception. There's no doubt about it. Any church in the world will have its own conflicts. It's a matter of time, whether we can see it then or later. See, even the disciples of Jesus amongst themselves, they had differences. They had tensions amongst themselves. They had quarrels amongst themselves. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this. These are precisely the opportunities for us to put the teachings of Jesus into practice. These are precisely the opportunities for us to grow and to be shaped and to be molded more into the image of Christ. These are the opportunities then for us to demonstrate the agape love of God amongst our fellow brothers and sisters. So that in and through all these things, the world will know that we are His disciples, disciples of Jesus Christ. The world will then know, will come to know of the God who gave His Son to die for the sins of the world because of His awesome love, His amazing grace, and the richness of His mercy. So, brothers and sisters, let us prepare ourselves for the greater move of God in our lives this year. Let us prepare to go deeper in our walk with Jesus our Lord this year, individually, as households, and as a church family. Amen. I'd like to invite the worship team up, please. Now, as the worship team is coming up, I'd like us to now put into practice this skill of reflecting, discerning, and embodying. I'd like to encourage us now, okay, to take some time now, today, somewhere today, and or even this week. If you may start today, it's even better while it's still fresh in your mind. Reflect. Where are you in your personal walk with God today? Where are you in your personal walk with God today, with Jesus? What is God speaking to you about your walk? What is He saying about your walk with Him? And thirdly, what are you going to do about what God has shown you? So just three simple questions. Where are you in your personal walk with Jesus? What is God saying to you about your walk with Him? And what are you going to do about it? Three simple questions. And I pray that as you be honest with yourselves and you just reflect on these things, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to point out things in your life. Allow Him to move in your heart. Because, you see, God is for you. He is not against you. He sent His Son to give His life for you. He loved us before we can even say that we loved Him. So as we go deeper in our relationship, as we want to go deeper in our relationship, in love with Jesus. Let us be honest about it. Let us come before Him just as we are. And let us say, Holy Spirit, God, help me this year to go deeper in You, deeper in oneness with You this year. Your walk, Lord, will be my walk. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do desire to go deeper in our relationship with You and in fellowship with one another here in Grace City Church. We do desire to grow in oneness with You and with one another as a family. Help us by Your Spirit to walk as Jesus walked and lived. Help us to grasp and to lay hold of Your Word, Your principles, Your truth for our lives. Help us to discern the areas that You desire us to work on, that You desire us to grow in our lives, in this season of our lives. Help us also to internalize and to assimilate Your Word in our lives, so that individually, as a family, as a church, we may grow in our knowledge, our understanding, and most of all, in our relationship with You as Your sons and daughters, and so that we may be Your good and faithful servants. We ask all these in Jesus' name, and we bless Your holy name. Amen. Amen. Shall we